Hi there, my name's Ross Crawford and welcome to the Redditch Standard podcast. Today I am delighted to be joined in the studio by Warrant Officer Second Class, Warrant Officer 2, is it?
It is, yes.
Warrant Officer 2, Paul Hall, and Warrant Officer 2, Mark Reynolds, who've joined us from the Redditch 37th Signals, who are based out at Wynyates, and they're here because it's Armed Forces Week, which culminates on Saturday with Armed Forces Day. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Welcome.
We're delighted to have you here. Obviously, this is a massive week for the Armed Forces in general. It just seems that you're busier than ever these days. You're, doing humanitarian work. You're looking after the security of this country. And obviously, for you guys based here in Redditch, you're doing a vital job as well. And could you explain, Mark, what exactly does the 37th Signals, what's it all about being in the Army today?
So 37th Signal Regiment is an Army Reserve unit, okay, and we're obviously communications, that's our main effort. The regiment's role is to provide communications in the sort of the UK operations, so mostly sort of like floods we've had in the past. The regiment has been mobilised to go and support the relief effort, the communications side of things. We are paired with a regular unit, which is 16 Signal Regiment in Stafford, and we've provided sort of manpower to go and support operations in Afghanistan, Iraq, etc. So we are quite a busy unit providing communications.
That's right. So Redditch is just the base, and then you've got guys going out here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah. So Redditch is the regimental headquarters. We've got five squadrons in the regiment. So we've got a squadron in Liverpool, a squadron in Darlington, as far north as Darlington, a squadron in Birmingham, and also a squadron in Sheffield as well. So we are quite widespread. I think we are the largest reserve signals regiment in the country. So it's quite a big regiment.
So you're well spread. I mean, how many men are in the unit?
I think the numbers are around about 500 across the regiment.
Yeah, and so you must see lots of different things, get engaged in different manoeuvres, and I don't know, you explain to me.
Yeah, so we've come across four brigade areas as well, so we're dealing with other sort of brigades.
Well, what's a brigade area?
So the brigade is the sort of British Army split into brigades around the country, infantry brigades, signal brigades, and where our units are split into, it depends on what brigade you come under, even though we come in the same regiment, so different sort of tasks for brigades come to different squadrons within the regiment, so we are quite busy. Redditch comes under 11 Signal Brigade, and that keeps us quite busy sort of recruiting and supporting other units as well.
But you're in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. You're REMI, right?
I'm REMI, yeah. So I was part of the regiment's Light Aid Detachment, which was REMI. There was a sort of restructure of how the REMI worked, and the REMI were sent back to REMI battalions. I stayed with the regiment because I'm a recruiter. My job is a full-time recruiter's job, so I'm the only REMI cap badge within the regiment at the moment.
Okay, and what's so great about being in the Army these days?
I think all the opportunities you get as a soldier. So my job as a recruiter, I'd sell the Army. Obviously, it's my job, but I've got a young son who's he's 14 and not sure what he's going to do with his life, and I would definitely recommend him going to the Army. Even if it's not a full career, it's more the opportunities you can get as a soldier. So first of all, it's going to improve you, your fitness, your confidence. It's just going to improve your CV for future, for getting the job. I think lots of sort of big companies out there now recognise the benefits of having a soldier working for them, because they're going to be disciplined, they're going to be fitter, they're going to be team players. That's a big thing within the Army. So anything in the Army is just going to improve you as an individual. You're going to get opportunities to go events training. That's a real big thing in the Army.
Events training?
So events training is skiing, trekking, mountain biking, kayaking. It's all things that push you past your comfort zone, which is, the Army see that as something close to what you're going to receive on operations, things you're not sort of used to, and preparing you for operations. Not only that, it's preparing you teamwork, fitness, getting around different places in the world. So it really does sort of prepare you for any eventuality, what you come across in operations.
So I guess if you join a corps like the REMI or Signals, you're also learning a skill as well, aren't
you? Yeah, so you've got a trade. Yeah, so obviously REMI, mechanics, armourers, etc. will be recognised as civil industry. The Royal Signals, their sort of motto at the moment is leaders in a digital age. That's IT and communications. Obviously, the world we're in now is all about IT. So the qualifications you're going to gain within the Royal Signals is going to benefit you when you come to sort of civilian jobs as well. So definitely sort of mapping across the civilian qualifications.
Yeah, and I know you guys have been at Halfords earlier today, haven't you? Because they've signed the Armed Forces Covenant.
Yeah,
and what does that involve?
So that just shows that they're supporting the Armed Forces. It shows that they're, they recognise the benefits of employees of being members of the Armed Forces as well. And I just want to link into things that we can do with them as well. So it's a good sort of good little partnership.
Yeah, well, that's really good. And obviously, as I said at the start, you know, the Armed Forces are, you know, they're fairly close to the hearts of British people. And what's the significance of Armed Forces Day and Armed Forces Week?
It's to show the public, it's to see the support from the public. Obviously, as a soldier, when you're in operations, it's good to know that you've got the public behind you, know what you're doing. It's a sort of celebration of what we do, and a thank you to the public as well for supporting us through those sort of times as well.
Yeah, and I gather there's going to be a reception at the Town Hall for you?
As far as I'm aware, I know we're not parading this year, but yeah, I think it's down to the Town Hall to sort of say thanks to the local armed forces.
Ah, it's fantastic, fantastic. And Paul, you're sitting there very, very quiet there. You said you were the minder for Mark. I mean, for you, you've been in Redditch quite a while, haven't you? What's the significance of Redditch for the Signals?
So we have about, I think it was about 6 years ago, we did the Freedom Parade. So we got the Freedom of Redditch. So the unit is well established in the area. We do a lot of community engagements. There's lots of groups within Redditch that, you know, call on us to do activities and events, like the Lions, the Royal British Legion, the council workers. There's a lot of charities that we've done events with, Night Stop. So, you know, we're well intertwined with Redditch.
Yeah, the fabric of the town.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's an honour and a pleasure to actually serve and be part of the community. We're stuck away in Moon's Moat, so sometimes it's not as, you know, we're not out there, we're not on the main street, so people sometimes don't know that we're there. So that's why we do a lot of community engagements, and it's getting to a point now where, you know, a lot of the community know where we are and what we do. And we're always recruiting. It's a part-time being in the Army Reserve. So if you've got a full-time job, you can join the Army Reserves. If you've got a part-time job, you can join the Army Reserves. And if you haven't got a job at all, it's a stepping stone, as my colleague said, as Mark said. We can give people who need employment that stepping stone. So we do comms and communications. We do driving, so you can get your driving licence through us, from car licence right through to HGV. And that gives the community, people in the community, a chance to go out there and get a job, and we can give them that stepping stone, and we're more than happy and willing to help and assist them do that.
Oh, wow. That's tremendous. I'd just say, somebody listening to this is interested in joining the Signals, joining the regiment, what should they do?
So the best thing to do is our drill nights are Tuesday nights, 19:30 to 21:30. But we're there as recruiters from Monday to Friday, 9 till 4:30. You can contact us via email, but the best thing to do is go onto the Army website. So into Google, type in Army Jobs, and that will take you to the Army website. You can find out a lot more information there about the Army Reserves. But just come down and see us on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, and you can do it part-time.
You can do it, yeah. So the minimum commitment for a reserve is 27 days a year. And that will include a 14-day camp. So it's a continuous two-week camp, which you need to do every year. And the rest are made up with weekends and Tuesday nights. And the minimum commitment is that 27 days. That's all you need to do. Average reservists will do around about 50 days. But we've got reservists who are self-employed or unemployed. And certain contracts are allowed to go up to a maximum of 207 days per training year. So there's lots of opportunities for extra work, extra courses, extra income. Someone who's out of work can get a bit of work with us sort of alongside as well. So it is really flexible. It's really flexible.
Okay, that's great. Fantastic. Well, you've heard it here. Armed Forces Day is on Saturday, the 29th of June. It's a chance to celebrate the achievements of our armed forces and obviously the debt we pay to our armed forces as well. It's Armed Forces Week this week. I know you guys were at the flag raising at the Town Hall on Monday. You've been out at Halfords today. And I think there's a black pear tree that's been donated, yeah. and that's been planted at Kohima House, which is where you're based, which is fantastic. And I tell you what, I know you're going to stick around for a bit of news. So without further ado, we'll move on to a couple of topics that we've got. And I know you've been out at Halfords because a couple of young ladies at Halfords, they're walking 100 miles in 48 hours. And it's all in aid of Charlotte and Craig Saving Hearts Foundation. Now, you guys, I mean, how tough is it walking 100 miles in 48 hours?
Yeah, so one of the young ladies came to me and said, I'm doing this walk over the weekend, and any tips? And I said, okay, how much training have you done? And I said, one of the most important things is, especially this weekend, it's going to be quite hot, is to ensure you're fully hydrated, because that's obviously a big thing when you're walking that far. Go some tips on types of food to be taking, and obviously stops, plenty of water stops as well. Just keep on going.
Yeah, I mentioned to her that we do a similar thing in Nijmegen, and it's over 4 days, and we do 25 miles a day. And it's a similar thing. Obviously, she's doing a 100 miles.
50 miles a day.
So that's even above what our achievement is. For the fact that she's doing it for charity, it always encourages and spurs people on, and I'm sure that they'll achieve, you know, what they're looking at doing. But no, really good, and we look them up. We wish them all the best in what they're doing.
Well, so what worries me is their feet. What sort of state are their feet going to be in?
So I did ask if she's wearing boots, and are your feet boots broken, and she's going to be wearing trainers? Which, if they're walking sort of main sort of tarmac tracks and stuff, trainers are okay. If you're going to go cross country, you need that ankle support where you wear boots. But trainers are comfortable. I gave her some advice on sort of taping your feet up with zinc oxide tape, stop blisters. If she does get a blister, get some Compeed, because that will protect it, because there's nothing worse than walking in blisters. Mm-hmm. So looking after your feet is really important, as important as hydration as well. So, but she seems quite comfortable in the trainers. Shouldn't be too much of a problem.
So it's a really worthy cause. So, you know, we encourage anybody if they can, if they see her on her way, to encourage her, to help them, to donate if possible. But, you know, that added encouragement of people waving them on, and that'll be just as good.
That'll lift the spirits, won't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We're talking about Chantelle Hancox and Emma Glasspool, both who work at Halfords. They're setting off on Friday lunchtime, and they're walking through Worcester, Hereford, all the way to Llandovery, to the Bluebell Inn, apparently. I bet they'll be dying for a pint by the time they get to the Bluebell Inn in Llandovery. And I think Rob Underwood, he's joining them for the last few miles, I think. He's right. Meeting up with them on Sunday. And, it's all for Charlotte and Craig Saving Hearts Foundation. Obviously, they're available, easy to find on the website. And like you say, they are a fantastic charity to support. Moving on, one other story we've got is Champagne Express, which is a fabulous Indian restaurant in Redditch. They've won the Best Asian Cuisine Award in the West Midlands, which, I mean, you guys must like a curry or two, don't you?
We definitely do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I tell you, Redditch seems to be pretty good for its curries, because I think Redolence won the Tiffin Cup last year, and Champagne Express, it's won a string of awards. And what's your favourite curry? Which one do you tend to go for?
I've been to Champagne Express, and mine's the house special. I think it's called the mixed special. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. Yeah, it's a bit of sort of all different types of meats. It's a real nice sauce. Yeah.
Do you like it hot or what sort of temperature you?
I like a hot chicken balti.
The hot chicken balti.
Yeah, awesome.
Tandoori hot type. Not what's the hottest?
Vindaloo, something like that.
Too happen in Vindaloo, but there.
Yeah, too old and sensible, I guess, for the Vindaloo these days. Yeah, I like the chicken patia or the chicken de piatti. Yeah.
Actually, the Champagne Express is actually quite a few guys, former soldiers, reserves, get together every couple of months and actually go to Champagne Express for a get together in the chat. That's their sort of chosen curry house.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's not just top for the it's top for the army as well.
It is.
It's a place to go to, and I know Abdul. He runs theme nights. He has Elvis nights. He has Motown nights. He has lots going on there, and that's fantastic. Now, well, thanks for coming in, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I'm going to be joined by Claire because we're going to talk about the Urgent Treatment Centre at Redditch, at the Alex. But, guys, thanks for coming in and telling us all about Armed Forces Day, all about how to join the army and the benefits of joining, and also giving your opinion on looking after your feet when you're walking 50 miles a day. My goodness. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Redditch Standard podcast because you have impeccable taste.
Well, those two guys, Mark and Paul, they're to rush back to base, but weren't they fantastic, Claire?
They were amazing. I want to be in the army skiing and...
mountain biking.
Oh, my goodness, it sounds like we're in the wrong job, Ross.
I think we are. I just think I'm too old, though, to join up.
No, you're still a young man.
So still, yes, I can do it. I can do it. But, yeah, it sounds like a fabulous life. And like they were saying, you know, it's not all war, is it?
Well, no, I mean, do you know what? I wish we'd carried on recording because they suddenly started telling us about their time in Falklands and their time in Cyprus and all these other
D-Day landings.
We're going to have to get them back on the podcast and do a whole hour with them because I think they've got so many amazing stories. But they did a good job. They came here to talk to us about the recruitment and everything and Armed Forces Day, and they were what magnificent ambassadors for the British Army.
Absolutely, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And... we've just got one last news piece to get in before we move on to the entertainment section, which I know you're going to do for us, Claire. And that's to do with the Urgent Treatment Centre at the Alexandra Hospital.
You're going to have to fill me in on this. So basically, it was Rachel McLean, right? I remember reading a story that you written last year, and she was campaigning for this treatment centre to come to Redditch. Is that right?
Well, Rachel is involved in all this. To go back to the beginning, under the reorganisation of the Health Trust, which saw maternity and paediatrics move to Worcester, one of the things that they said they were going to open at the Alex was an urgent care centre / urgent treatment centre. You know, the NHS is like, you know, it's got UTCs and UCCs and no end of acronyms, but... they were going to open up this centre for walking wounded, sort of people who aren't seriously ill, but who still need medical attention.
So it's not as serious as accident and emergency. This
no.
is a next step down.
That's right.
But higher than your doctor waiting for an appointment.
Well, it was going to be GP-led. So it's going to be led by the, you know, your family doctor. But instead of, you know, making an appointment to go and see your GP at your surgery, you could just rock up to the hospital. You'd be seen by a triage nurse in A&E, and they'd say, well, what you need to do is go to the urgent treatment centre and they can sort you out.
Makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, yes. The only trouble was that the health authorities, and that we're talking here about Redditch and Bromsgrove Clinical Commissioning Group, which is the doctors, the GPs thing, and Worcestershire Acute Hospitals NHS Trust, which is the health trust that runs the Alex, they were dragging their feet, really, about getting this thing set up and running. And then eventually, December last year, after Rachel McLean got involved, and Rachel got a petition up, a parliamentary petition, calling for this urgent treatment centre to open, they eventually got around to opening it in December, and it was going to be 4 or 5 months trial period.
Mm-hmm.
Time passes, June appears, and obviously that's 4 or 5 months, you know, it should have long gone.
So it hasn't happened?
Well, it has happened. And they're still... I mean, this is the amazing thing. They haven't told anyone that it's still going. They haven't told anyone that they've changed the hours because the opening hours were originally 12 till 9:30. They've now changed them to 2 to 10:30.
Hmm.
So it's like this sort of communication blackout from the health... from the clinical commissioning group about this urgent treatment centre. A reader got in contact with me and said, what's happening with this UTC? And so I got in touch with the health people and they said, well, it's currently under review, but we're going to carry it on until at least September. But they said utilization of it is low.
But so no one knows about it.
It's because no one knows about it. Exactly. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, they don't tell anyone about it and then they complain that nobody's using it.
So are we thinking that they want it just to fail, or are we thinking that... I'm my mind is kind of a little bit blown right now. I don't really know what to think.
Well, neither do I. And all I would say is that for months and months and months, last year, the Health Trust, this is Worcestershire Acute Hospitals NHS Trust and the CCG, launched this big media campaign saying, don't go to A&E unless you're seriously ill. If you are not seriously ill, there are numerous other alternatives, like minor injuries unit in Bromsgrove, there's 111, there's your local GP surgery. At no time did they mention the urgent treatment centre.
Never. I've never, ever heard of it. I remember reading your article last year when Rachel McLean was talking about it and saying it was going to come, and I haven't heard anything about it since. So, yeah.
Yeah. What can we say except that this is a vital piece of vital piece of the fabric of healthcare in Redditch, and we need to shout about it. We need to say it's there, it's a service. If you don't use it,
it's
going to
go.
Lose it.
Yeah.
But you can't blame the people at Redditch because they didn't know about it.
Exactly. So, wow. Do other hospitals have this same service? Do we know if it works brilliantly well anywhere else? Or?
Well, this is another thing that the CCG said. There's numerous versions of a UTC. That's an urgent treatment centre. You know, I said an urgent care centre. There's some places I've got a walk-in centre. There's minor injuries units. You know, there's all different, you know, provision of service going on. And I think the government is quite keen on sort of slimming it down and getting a, you know, a unified approach to offering this sort of not serious but still of concern healthcare.
You'd think that they would want to get the message out because so many people go to A&E when they're not, it's not an emergency, don't they? I mean, you hear
well,
about
apparently
people...
not in Redditch, not in Redditch.
Well, yeah, this is true. But I've got a doctor friend, and he was saying that people often could just go to the local pharmacy and ask a question if it's a sty in their eye. You know, pharmacies are amazing sources of information, and they're able to give you advice on, you know, if it's a cold or a cough or something as an initial port of call. And so much time is wasted. So you think something like this, they need to get it sorted, don't they? They need to inform people where to go and how to go about it.
Well, that's right. You know, when I say that the message has got through in Redditch, I mean that this contact of mine, he went down to A&E. It was a five-hour waiting list.
Yeah.
5 hours, you know. And if you're seriously ill, and you obviously thought these people were seriously ill because they didn't funnel them onto the urgent treatment centre, that's a lot of seriously ill people in Redditch waiting up to 5 hours for treatment. And really, they need to get the message out there, I think, that...
They do. So what are we doing? Are we running a big story
We're
about
running a big story
this week?
On it.
Okay,
we're running
brilliant.
A use it or lose it story this week, and hopefully that's exactly what people do. They'll
that's a good headline. Is that your headline?
I don't know. I don't write the headlines.
Do you not
write
the headlines?
Stories. No.
Oh,
no.
I
often think of the headlines.
Do you not put them up there and say, what about this?
Yeah, well, you know, yes, but it's quite good the way we work that we get somebody separate who isn't that involved with the story writing the headline. Because they might see something in the story that I didn't see, and they might be a bit more objective.
Oh, they've got to use it or lose it, surely.
Well, you know, we'll see. But we've got some very good sub-editors who can write headlines for us.
Oh, well, thanks for bringing this to everyone's attention, Ross. What would we do without you?
Who knows? But anyway, I think that just about does us. We've got our entertainments coming up with you, and... In fact, we'll go straight over to you now, Claire, and if you want to tell us everything that's going on in Redditch this weekend.
For all the things to do and see this week, it's Claire Bullivant with this week's What's On Guide.
Thanks, Ross. Once again, we've got some fun things coming up this weekend in town. My name is Claire at the Redditch and Ulster Standards, and these are my top picks of things to do and see this week in the Redditch area. Starting off on Friday, the 28th of June, we've got a charity garden open weekend happening at the Old Piggery. This is going on all weekend, so Friday, Saturday and Sunday, 2 p.m. until 6 p.m. on each of those days. And it's a £12 entry fee going in, but it's going to three great charities, Dementia UK, Parkinson's UK and Cancer Research. And you get, for that £12, a fabulous full cream tea with sandwiches. There's also a tombola there. and plants for sale. It's going to be a fantastic weekend, apparently. So it's going to be gorgeous. And what better than sitting outside in the countryside with all those gorgeous plants, having a beautiful British cream tea. So that's something nice to do. Postcode for the Old Piggery is B976RQ. And again, it's 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Then also on Friday night, it's Hits of Motown at the Palace Theatre. This is featuring hits by The Three Degrees, Stevie Wonder, Four Tops, Temptations, etc, etc. It's going to be a great show. redditchpalacetheatre.co.uk for your tickets there. Also on Friday at the Palace in the studio is Come Alive. This is an evening of music with members of Studley Operatic Society, who always put on superb performances. So if you're local to that, do try and get yourself there. And over at the Oast House on Friday, it's time to crimp your hair and bring out your neon, as it's 80s night with DJ Stevie K. Always a great time at the Oast House. And also it's good news on Friday, as the Royal Enfield Pub is reopening on Unicorn Hill. We've all missed it, haven't we? They've spent over £800,000 on a new outdoor area at the back of the pub, a new elevated decking area. There's also a new lift access, and the pub itself has been completely redecorated. I can't wait to see how it looks. I think a drink after work on Friday is in order. Moving on to Saturday, the 29th of June, we've got Bowie by Moonlight happening at the Palace Theatre. This is a beautiful stage show that invites you to relive the look and the sound of one of David Bowie's most successful albums and his concert, the Serious Moonlight Tour, which was in 1983. It's fronted by singer and impersonator Chris Fielding, who's absolutely incredible. And there's also a seven-piece band accompanying him, loads of highly experienced musicians. They really do sound like the real thing. And it's got all your favourite songs, including Life on Mars, Space Odyssey, Jean Genie, Starman, Ashes to Ashes, etc. It's going to be a great show. Get your tickets quick from the Palace Theatre, redditchpalacetheatre.co.uk. There's also a tribute to the Eagles going on at the Oast House on Saturday night. And another fun event on Saturday that I highly recommend, actually, is the outdoor cinema happening at Hanbury Hall and Gardens. This is one of those events where you take a picnic and even something with bubbles in and enjoy watching a movie under the stars in this unique experience. It's all put on by Sundown Cinema at Hanbury Hall and Gardens. Booking is essential, they tell me. So do call and get your tickets if you want to go. The phone number to book is 0115 896 0044. Then on Sunday the 30th of June, remember, it's a Studley car boot sale on Sunday morning. Gates open at 6 a.m. there. The postcode for your sat nav if you need it is B96 6ER. And also on Sunday, the Redditch Orchestra are playing over at the Artrix in Bromsgrove with their last night of the proms, which promises to be spectacular. If you want tickets for that, call the Artrix on their booking number, which is 01527 577 330. Then one of my favourite ways to always end the weekend is Alan's Charity Quiz Night at the Bell Inn in Aswerbank. 9 p.m. start there. Always great fun. I just need to win one of these days. That's all I'm asking. It's never happened, but one of these days I will. If you're really clever, you can be on my team. Moving on to next week, just a few events not to miss out on. Tuesday the 2nd of July, it's Choirs Connected Sing at the Palace Theatre. This is a summer evening of uplifting songs for the whole family. Always a very professional and lovely show. Then on Thursday, the 4th of July, put this in your diary. It's Redditch Has Talent 2019, also happening at the Palace. They've been out once again in search of local talent, and this show is the culmination of that search. It's really amazing to see all the talented people we have in this town. And in fact, my hairdresser's daughter won, I think it was last year, or perhaps the year before, or she did really well in it anyway. And she's now just got a gig as the hotel vocalist at Alton Towers. Impressive, right? Well done, Rihanna Street. And anyway, that concludes our roundup of events to see and do this weekend in town. If you have an event that you'd like included, please do get in touch with us. You can email us your event details or give us a call, and we'll help you publicise it to all the readers of our newspaper, listeners of this podcast, and we'll also pop you on all our social media channels. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great week. Back to you, Ross.
That's great, Claire. So much going on in Redditch once again. It is really is a vibrant town to live and play in, and lots of happening events. All that's left for me to say is to thank our guests. They were Warrant Officer Paul Hall and Warrant Officer Mark Reynolds for coming in and telling us all about the Army. Thanks too to Claire for telling us all about our leisure activities this weekend. And just to remind listeners that my name is Ross Crawford. You can contact me on 01527 588 697. Email me at ross.crawford@bullivantmedia.com or at editor@redditchstandard.co.uk. And don't forget to check out our website at www.redditchstandard.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Speak to you next week.